Hello folks, on this week's show you have a chance to win one of two copies of Mantic Games 3rd edition starter set, Shadows in the North. If you want to win one of those, comment below. And we're also going to be looking at some of the latest 40k Age of Sigmar Flames of War news and taking a quick look at the new Harry Potter miniatures expansion, the Chamber of Secrets, and Marvel's new Crisis Protocol from Atomic Mass Games.
Good morning, Otters. Welcome to the On Tabletop Weekender.
Always give in.
I'm embracing it. We are otters. We are otters by day and cogs by night. We have introduced, for the Cult of Games members, a Cult of Games Discord Sanctuary. It's invite only.
So we're otter cogs then? Oh, cogs.
Otter cogs. So if you fancy joining our sanctuary, come on over and join the Cult of Games. It's still called Backstage because we can't be changing it yet, but it is the Cult of Games. You are joining our proper gaming secret society. So you'll be very, very welcome. Once you've joined the Cult of Games, you will then get access very secretly, very quietly, to our Cult of Games Discord, where we get up to all sorts of shenanigans in there. Isn't that right, Justin?
I'm scared.
Justin loves it. Justin loves it. On the topic of cool kind of secret society kind of stuff, I'm a huge fan of Harry Potter.
I don't think that's secret.
I am a massive fan of Harry Potter. Harry Potter makes me happy beyond all measure. And I will explain to you why. Okay? One of my most precious moments is I have a little girl called Savannah. Okay? And when Savannah was about a year and a half, between a year and a half to 2 years old, Savannah would lie on the sofa with me and the pair of us would cuddle and just watch Harry Potter. And that moment, do you know whenever you die and you go back through all of your moments? If that's the only moment I have, that will be enough for me. Because that bond with that little girl, ever since we lay on that sofa together and just watched Harry Potter, has flourished into a daddy-daughter relationship on gaming and monsters and all things fantastical. I am a proud daddy, and I love her to little bits. And I'm extra proud now because Harry Potter, we're still loving it and we're still into it, but I bought Savannah. D&D do these books now, the Young Adventurer's Guides. They have the Monsters one, which is basically a beastry, and it's got the Eye of the Beholders and all in it. Savannah now, at bedtime, I walk up and she's in her wee bed reading the D&D books. So Savannah's, how old is she now? God, she must be, she's nine, coming 10. She's coming 10 this year.
Where the hell did the years go?
I know. It's mad. So she's coming 10 and she sits and she reads these wee D&D books. And I tell her, you know, you're going to be better at describing these monsters than I am now, pet. And it's all thanks to Harry Potter. That moment was a connection. It was enough to fire those little synapses in her mind and turn her into awesome. And now I get to relive the Harry Potter experience thanks to Night Models, okay? So I'm going to do a little bit of a show and tell, okay? Mm-hmm. Night Models have just released the Chamber of Secrets Chronicle Box. That's this big box of awesomeness.
It's big. And
it is big.
Is it heavy?
It's here, feel it.
They do metal many.
No.
Are these resin? No.
There's no metal in this.
Okay.
No metal in this.
Not the metal.
Okay, so the Chamber of Secrets Chronicle box will give you a little of the blurb on the back, okay? It's the first narrative expansion for the Harry Potter miniatures adventure game, okay? So it's an adventure game. And it brings a wizarding world to your tabletop. It's got 27 character cards, 20 chronicle cards, 15 spell cards, 11 artifact cards, 4 potion cards, 7 plastic bases, 3 double-sided game boards, 7 double-sided cardboard tiles and tokens, and a chronicle book. And it's got 24 minis in it, Justin.
Okay, right? Cool.
It's got the Slytherin Basilisk, the Basilisk. brilliant monster. Mm-hmm. It's got Tom Riddle in there. And remember, it's got Fox, Dobby, Argus Filch, Moaning Myrtle, who Jerry thought was a female Harry Potter.
Pretty sure that's exactly what it is. Harry Potter and pigtails.
Yeah,
Harry Potter and drag.
I am an utter fan of Harry Potter. Jerry, however, is not. And Jerry very kindly
came to me. You're in a Wizarding World, I'm sure there's a spell for that.
He said, so I take it that's the movie where Harry Potter became a girl. And I went,
no.
I was thinking, Harry Potter become a girl. I was pretty sure Harry Potter did become a girl at one point because he drank the poly juice.
Yeah, but that was never they became Crabbe and Goyle to actually infiltrate the Slytherin common room.
No. This was during the escape thing. Oh, no, the girl became Harry Potter. That was it.
So, Order of the Phoenix.
Yes. So a girl did become Harry Potter.
Right.
I don't believe Harry Potter ever became a girl. But Jerry said, no, she totally did.
And yet, there he is on the back of the box, pigtails in.
Hang on, who was that?
Yeah, it's Moaning Myrtle.
No. The Fedora talks.
Okay.
So, I am not a fan of Harry Potter, right? But the interesting thing is you're holding this box up and I'm looking at it and going, oh, I can see pretty much most of the scenes from the movie represented right there.
Yep.
I recognize... This what I'm looking at is picturing the movie in my mind.
Yeah, well, let me finish. We're not finished yet. Colin Creevy's in this. The Sorting Hat is in this, which we could be doing for the Cogs at the moment. The Cogs are quietly organizing themselves into houses, and poor Justin's in a house of his own. Myself a strike. We get two large acromantulas, which are spiders, Justin. I'll show them in a minute.
No, thank
four
you.
Acromantulas and 10 acromantula swarms. Okay. Now, the core box is needed to play with this Chronicle box. It is an expansion. But can I open her up?
Some of the stuff you get in there.
This is show and tell. Did you get to feel the weight of it yet?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay. So in the box.
Oh, that's real.
I like this.
Nice. Isn't that nice?
You got to hold that up.
Look at that. Isn't that
very
lovely?
Nice.
Okay. I actually really like how this has been packed. So what do you see? So we open her up. And then inside, we have...
The thing on the front, the thing, is it?
Yeah, we have the cards. Okay, so let me just open these. Now, the reason I'm not building any of this yet is I have an idea for this Harry Potter stuff. Because I'm fairly certain there'll be others out there who are non-gamer folk that will want to buy or collect into this Harry Potter stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
So what I'm thinking of doing on this Harry Potter stuff is doing little build guides on how the minis actually go together, because they are multi-part minis. These are miniatures. Some of the most beautiful sculpted miniatures I have seen are coming out of this range. You should see the Albus Dumbledore.
Albus Dumbledore.
Albus Dumbledore.
And you call yourself a man. For shame.
Dude, I muck up people's names. It's what I do. I muck up the names of the people I love. So.
Oh, I know. Your pronunciation ain't so good.
So Albie Dilbador, well, he gets his name mixed up just like anybody else, okay? Right, so these are the cards. So what I want to do is I'm going to do a series of build videos on how we put these things together. This is from Moaning Myrtle. It's from Moaning Myrtle. So you've got the moon card in there. Stupefy!
I think that's just abilities. They have a standard.
Yeah. Tom Riddle.
Nice.
It's the character cards.
Camera shot. That's camera shot.
So Colin Creevy was the one that was going around taking the photographs.
Yeah. And
anyway, so you've got that. Right.
Graphic design's
next
nice.
Next up, cut just, to me.
Let's appreciate that for a sec. The graphic design's very nice.
The graphic is lovely. You get this, okay? And in this pack here, we have... Oh, let me get her all opened up. So we have the Chronicle book, okay? Mm-hmm. So in the Chronicle book, we are going to have the assembly instructions. Let's see if we can show off a little bit of the Chronicle book under the close cam there. So you can see the assembly instructions for the minis, and you can already see just how nice some of those minis look.
Female Harry Potter.
It's Moaning Myrtle,
so
Jerry.
So Moaning Myrtle's the one coming out of the wall.
Yes.
Yeah, she's the one that was killed in the girl's bathroom. Mm.
Killed in a toilet by a toilet monster.
Oh, no, Mr. Toilet Man! Listen, I've had it with you. You better give me that baby. Give it to me, for the next time you sit on me, I'm going to bite off your tushy.
The rest of the book has all of the layouts and stuff for each of the adventures.
The Whomping Willow.
As well as that, then.
The Secret Pet.
We have, these are some of the tiles, the various tiles. So the cardstock, the cardstock's lovely, actually. The cardstock is a good 3 mil, at least. So if you can see, each of the tiles are double-sided. Mm-hmm. So you get to play out the different, some of the different scenes.
He looks familiar.
Chamber of Secrets.
Haven't I seen him in the mirror?
That's Hargard. Hagrid, Justin, even I know. Do you know Hagrid's first name?
Teddy Westside. Teddy Westside Hagrid. Oh, that is his full name.
What was it?
Big boy. Big boy Hagrid.
No.
Do you know Ben?
Let me see some more of these counters.
Okay, Ben. So what's Hagrid's first name?
Rubeus Hagrid.
It is Rubeus. Yeah. Yes. Rubeus Hagrid.
And I was going to say Rufus, so I was close.
Oh, Rufus is near it. Right. So, okay, hold it back up to me. On this side here.
The Haunted Forest?
This is the Haunted Forest, where you get to meet the giant spiders. Mm-hmm. And then, that's the Haunted
there
Forest.
You go.
And then on the lower side, very, very cool. It is the actual Chamber of Secrets itself, where the basilisk.
This is what I was talking about, because I seen this on the back of the box and it just immediately painted those two scenes in my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, that's really good.
So you get the basilisk itself. Okay. So that's your big lump of card stock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Loads of card. Very nicely then at that point, you get a layer of foam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then underneath that layer of foam, da-da!
Ooh, everything's parted out.
A beautiful tray and all your minis already parted out.
Yeah. Now, these are all resin, yeah?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So any beginners out there, you're going to want to use super glue?
Well, I say they're resin. They're kind of like a resin plastic kind of a
Some of them are resin. So if you do that, it will snap.
Yeah.
So there's different types of material because I think the swarms are hard plastic.
So if you guys can pull a few through there, do we have a little bit of a look?
Have some spiders.
Yeah. So that's your swarms. Which are nice. You know, those swarms, you know, they're tokeny.
Yeah, but they are hard plastic, whereas that is resin.
Yeah, you can see the changing color there. Yeah. If I flip this over so you can see the backs.
Mm-hmm.
You see that changing color, you can see the resin is darker.
Okay. If we can pull some of the characters, do we start to have a look at the components?
We have Mr. Filch.
Yeah. Is Filch one piece?
He is one piece. You just glue him into the base.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice little pose, arms behind the back.
There's a thing.
Okay. Who have we got there? That's the sorting hat?
Yeah, that's our sorting hat. Although why it's on the floor.
We have a child. Well, where else would you put your hat?
Okay, so this is Colin, and you can see his camera is actually already on the little tab.
Yeah.
At the bottom there. What else do we have here, Jerry?
Got a spider.
Yep, I think that's Aragog.
But that's part of Aragog, so
you have to do his legs.
The legs.
Once I find the legs, I'll certainly think about doing that.
Okay, so I believe.
Yeah, they're probably in the bag of bits.
Oh,
yeah.
there's a bag of legs.
Yeah, so there's legs. His legs there.
Yeah, Aragog's huge.
Yeah.
And like
what else you got for me?
Smaller spiders, but so bigger than the previous smaller spiders. We've got levels of spider here, Justin. It may feel like I'm just taking out spiders.
It does feel like you're just taking out spiders.
To be fair, it's not easy just to take out spiders. I'm having to search an awful lot around this, try to find things that are spidery.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody headless.
That may actually be
that
Harry.
That might be Harry himself.
I found his head then. There you go.
Uh-huh.
It's obviously pigtailed Harry.
So
Moaning Myrtle?
Yeah, you say
that's Moaning Myrtle.
You say
head.
That, but I'm still saying Harry.
So Moaning Myrtle is going to be flying out of the toilet wall, oof, Jerry.
Here's
so.
One to be careful of.
Yeah.
Dobby, look at those little legs. Those are very delicate. Yes. Be careful with
and
this.
And that is exactly why I want us to do a few kind there's of little assembly guides.
Patrick
for these.
McGowan from The Prisoner. That's really nice. I was unexpected to see him in there, but well done, Patrick.
Okay, now pull me out the basilisk. Okay, so the basilisk, multi parts.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see. Yeah, it's a big model of the basilisk.
Well, is this meant to be the basilisk? I thought this was a hydra.
No, it's a basilisk.
Right, I'm not saying they're wrong. But
another
doesn't look like a basilisk.
Neck.
No, it looks like the big mammoth snake.
In Harry Potter, the basilisk is a snake.
Mm. Oh, very wrong then. That's what we're saying.
Well, it's not wrong. It's just alternative.
It's
isn't
not
it?
Alternative. If you call a badger a hedgehog, it's still a badger. Just because they've got the name wrong, so they've called giant snake and they've called it a basilisk.
There. No, the difference is a badger and a hedgehog exist in real life. A basilisk is in the world of your mind.
No, basilisk comes from mythology. We know what a basilisk is. If I go, what's a centaur? You'll be able to tell me what a centaur is. That only exists in the realm of your mind. They've drawn these from places and they've drawn it wrong. Oh, she's wrong.
He just loves crapping on my
wrong,
dreams.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Well, it's right to me. It's right to me for this particular.
Why is there a log?
Compared to the movie, it's exactly as it was, pretty much.
Yes. Yeah.
So they named it wrong in the movie.
Can you have a look at the multi-part
spider base?
Can you have a look at the multi-part basilisk for me and start to kind of like join the parts together just how I see?
Not really, because you've got this component here, mm-hmm. which actually comes up and out of the water and back down into it again.
Yeah.
Because if you look, you've got the base that you're building it all onto.
Okay, so pop them into
won't,
that.
It won't sit.
Just pop them onto it.
I'm telling you, it won't sit.
Well, try it anyway. There. Close enough. Right. Okay. Oh, you need to, there's a bit of flashing on
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So it won't build.
Right. What's the next bit then?
So the next bit, you've got the main part of the neck that's coming up out of the water.
Uh-huh.
And then you have the next component of it.
Right. So stick that onto that bit.
Again, it will
just
not
to,
sit.
Just to see how much cleanup it's going to need.
Not a lot.
Okay.
Not a lot. And then from there, you've got the ball joint at the front here.
Mm-hmm.
Or the two halves. Of your head.
Oh, so I'm going to get a good degree of poseability with the head then?
Not really, because if you look, the very back of it here has got a flat joint component.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. So the head's not going to be twisty. So
I think it's more
a socket
just,
more than a ball joint then.
Yeah. I think it's more just so that anybody building it, you know, the ball bit goes onto the ball bit, the square bit goes onto the square bit. So if you're new to this, you're not going to build it wrong.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So that is the Chamber that's of Secrets.
Nice level of detail on the snake.
Adventure Crawl. The basilisk is lovely. So, I'm looking forward to it. So we'll definitely do a series of like assembly videos on that there to try and help folk out because, it's a wonderful world of, you know, sharing just awesome little magic experiences and things. So,
well, this series is actually the first novel series I ever got into as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
This was where my love of reading fantasy novels came from.
Happy days, man.
This I'm assuming this range...
High five, Justin. We are on the same page of this one.
I'm assuming this range will go out towards the Fantastic Beasts and stuff as well.
They already have some.
They already have Fantastic Beasts in the range.
And does your kids enjoy the Fantastic Beasts series as well?
Love it. Absolutely love it, as do I.
See, I watched the first one and didn't really enjoy it.
Oh, you see...
I don't know, I like the originals. It's kind of like Star Wars for me, I like the originals.
What do you mean the originals?
The original trilogy of Star Wars I like, and for Harry Potter, I like the originals where it's not the Fantastic Beasts series.
But they never had any originals to the Fantastic Beasts series. The Fantastic Beasts series...
Original Harry Potter, same universe.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now you get it.
Oh, you see, I never look at it in that sense. They don't stack the way Star Wars does. You know, those Star Wars movies are all stacking one in a grand overall arc.
I think the Fantastic Beasts ones are meant to be like set in the past, aren't they?
Yes, but they're not. They're not prequels. They don't connect to Harry's story directly.
Yeah, I suppose.
Story arc of its own.
What do you think, Ben? You excited?
I quite like the stuff for Harry Potter. I really like a lot of the miniatures they bring out. It's really every month. I know recently they did one that I think was really nice. Probably one of the like a good collector's piece for hobbyists.
Yeah.
They did one of Hagrid on the flying motorbike with Harry in the sidecar and stuff. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and Hagrid
so it's been really
off.
Nice seeing. Yeah, it's been nice seeing what they've been doing with it, like in total, because you've got a lot of sort of gamey pieces, and then you've got some stuff that's a little bit more for display, I think, as well. So, yeah,
I really
cool range of stuff. So,
see that pulling all together in the box set. That kind of makes it for me, because although I'm not a big Harry Potter fan, I don't have anything against Harry Potter. Mm. Just not like I just haven't watched all the movies. Looking at that, I'm going, oh, that's a pretty good jump in point. You can just get stuck in. So I take it the actual set that this connects to is the same sort of quality then the original.
Yes.
This is an expansion of.
Yeah. Ryan, please pop me up the painted miniature of Albus Dumbledore. It's as miniatures go, it is drop dead gorgeous, absolutely astounding. This range, that's what excites me about this range, is it appeals to the collector in me, and you know whether you play the rules in this box is kind of immaterial. The opportunity for role play. To play an RPG out with these miniatures. That's where it gets me, because they could have created a game and then skimped on the minis and just let the IP sell it, but they didn't. The sculpts in these minis are incredible. And that it just unlocks the magic for me, because Harry Potter, right. The reason I love Harry Potter, almost as much as I love The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, is because it's a very different feel from The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Harry, one of the things that I've always found with The Lord of the Rings is that the magic is a little bit mundane, okay? You have the most powerful wizard, Gandalf, and Gandalf is able to... Gandalf is able to...
Ben, you're giving Ben a stress migraine here, Warren.
Gandalf is able to use his powerful magic to talk in a really dark, really deep voice and make things go slightly black, okay? Which I think is a bit ass, if I'm being honest. Whereas the magic in Harry Potter is utterly incredible.
So you like whiz-bang magic?
I love the magic in Harry Potter. No point... did it ever feel underwhelming?
Nope, it's amazing. Expelliarmus.
Whoosh. Expelliarmus, yes. So it's like, it never ever felt underwhelming. And they capture that in some of the sculpts in this range. That Dumbledore one. Whoosh,
with the, did they make any bigger figures?
Yes, so the Dumbledore one is pretty huge because it's that scene.
Are you talking about bigger in scale or just, I don't know if they do like busts or 54
mils. All of it's just the 35 mil stuff.
Well, that's a shame because Knight Models had Star Wars, DC and Marvel licenses in the past.
Yeah.
And they did 35 mil figures about the same size as that. But then they also did collector series sort of 70 mil, 90 mil tall figures.
I don't know.
They were outstanding.
Yeah. The quality of these guys' creativity is just out of this world. It's lovely, and that's what attracts me to this as a collector and as a dad of kids who love this. I can see us having these and playing all kinds of games with this kind of stuff, you know. And it's cool. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my show and tell. And then we're going to get these built on camera, and then I'm taking it home.
That's the way to do it.
It's mine. So there.
He's gone full David Brent there.
Yep. Jerry.
Yes, Ted.
Do you want to whip yours out?
Go on then. I will.
I can't be the only one to do a show and tell this morning. So while we're on the topic of amazing movies, Jerry...
Yeah, we've kind of dove head first into this one.
What have you got?
I've got Atomic Mass Games.
Show us your box.
Oh. Crisis Protocol for Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
So there we go.
Okay, so this basically just blew out of nowhere.
It blew out of somewhere.
It blew out of nowhere. Everybody's going, holy smokes. So we managed to get a hold of the core set. What's in it? Give us a quick gander. I know you guys have done a proper unboxing.
There's an unboxing. There are 10 superheroes. I'm not going to say superhero / villains because you can build your force whatever way you want. So you get things like tokens.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of tokens. 170 tokens. Hopefully you don't need all of them for one game, because that would make me cry. You get the rule book, and this is a weird one. I don't think I mentioned this on the unboxing. This is not the full rules.
It's not the full rules?
This is not the full rules. This is a, read this first, learn to play, L2P noob, it's called. And then it goes, oh, once you've learned to play using our basic rules, go and download the rule book off the interweb. And so I went and had a look at the rule book on the interweb. Now, the full rules are 29 pages. This is 26 pages. The first two pages are the same. This is the same in the full rules, where it, well, actually, it doesn't give you the contents list here. It just but it starts from here, where it goes, here's the anatomy of a card, and that sort of thing.
Okay, yeah.
They should have just put the full rules in the box, because I hate downloading stuff. I hate reading stuff on the internet. That really annoys me.
See, as soon as you said, go download it, I was expecting you go and buy a hard copy that's maybe 100 pages long.
No. Theoretically, exactly the same length. The back of this is the assembly diagram. So the rule set is the same length, and then they've added the assembly diagrams. They could have just cut these pages out.
And gave you them separately.
And put them in the box with the rules, and not this.
No. I wonder, it's a brand new game that's out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's a deliberate option.
It's deliberately stupid.
Well, is it a deliberate option, though, to keep the flexibility to fine-tune those rules just in case they need to be fine-tuned? I have a lot of sympathy for that, especially for a brand new game.
Who's our design team in this? Go to the front of the book there for me. See who our rules designer is.
The thing about that is, if the cards weren't so intrinsic, I would say yes. But essentially, I can't see how they're changing the rules, because the cards come with the miniatures. So
they would
have to rewrite things from the ground up.
One of the things I was going to say is, one of the things that may have influenced decision making is that a lot of the board games that come out at the moment, and card games as well, come with a getting started guide, and then everything else is just sort of effectively relegated to the rules references. So it may be in the case that basically that's all you need to learn how to play. And if you want to look up the actual minutiae of stuff, then go and download the rule book. But as you say, it's different strokes for different folks.
The game itself is designed around the cards. Mm-hmm. So you've got your stack cards, and you build your force before you come to play.
Yeah.
So
now, is this more board game style or more war game style?
No, it's war game.
It's a proper
miniature. Yeah, it's proper.
This is proper game, Justin. Yeah, so it's proper game.
If you look up here, you can see this figure is the threat level.
Yeah.
And that's what you build your team on. So Baron Zemo there is only 3, Captain America's 4, Ultron I presume is 4. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your threat level comes down to the game you play. And the game you play, and this is quite cute actually, is based on these. So again, none of this is in the rule book. You don't need the rule book for this, because it's not going, you're playing this game, you're playing that game. Mm-hmm. You set up the board between you and your opponent. Mm-hmm. I don't want those. I want these at the back. Then you've got these two sets of cards. So there's a blue set and a red set, and they are the extraction and the secure threats. Mm-hmm. And whoever gets first turn, after you've mutually set up the table between you, so it's not even going, here's your scenario, here's how you deploy your buildings or whatever. They go, no, you're playing, you set up your table, then you have a deck each. Whoever gets priority gets to choose whether they're going to go for extraction or secure. So let's say you pick spider-infected invade Manhattan. So that's going to be the extraction game that we're going to play. And then your opponent then picks one of the secure. They're both activated at the same time. So Infinity Formula goes missing. So these are our two that we're going to play.
Yeah.
Now, the big number at the top, that's the points limit you build to.
Right.
So
and threat is your points.
And your threat is your points. So whoever's choosing it goes, I want this. And your opponent goes, I want this. And then you go, right, we're going to, these are all 17 pointers, but potentially these can change in others. Mm-hmm. And then you would go, right, well, that's the two objectives. Who out of my 10 or 20 or whatever number of heroes I have, subcontract, you've got your big roster, and then you go, I only need 3 guys, but it's a take and hold mission. So I don't want somebody who's particularly weak. I'm going to bring in some punchy people. But his mission that he's chosen is a shoot the ambassador in the face. Or rob a jungle or something weird, you know, whatever. So you need to be able to have the flexibility in your overall roster of heroes that you can then go, well, the threat is only 15. So I'm limited in what I can take. And these are the 3 people or the 4 people who are best able to do the 2 missions that are on the board.
Yeah. So you both know the missions before you choose from your roster. Yes.
Yes. You build your roster in advance. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Ben.
It works a little bit like Malifaux does in that you pick 10 heroes and then you build out of that, and then you decide based on the mission that you're playing, as Jerry was saying there. So like from what you get in that initial core set, those 10 heroes are effectively the pool of heroes that one player can pick from. Obviously, if you're playing with, planning to play this with another person, you don't need to take all 10 for yourself. You can sort of split it up how you want and things. But there's some really nice ways that they've mixed it up and all that kind of thing. You know, heroes with villains, just focus on villains, just focus on heroes, stuff based around themes. So you can have things based around the Avengers. They've talked about, you know, things to do with X-Men and stuff in the future. I think you've got the Cabal is the other one that you get in the starter set, which is focused around Red Skull and Ultron and stuff like that. So
the interesting thing for me with that is when you're building your force, when you're building your roster of heroes, so this could be my roster of heroes, which would be Dr. Octopus, Spider-Man, Ultron, and Captain America.
Yeah.
I don't have to explain why they're together.
No. Yeah.
You can. He's a Skrull. Or maybe that's Hydra, Captain America.
Yeah.
It's entirely up to you what you put in. You don't have to go good guys, bad guys. You can go whatever comic book heroes I like against whatever comic book heroes you like. If, however, you've got over half of your roster of a specific affiliation, then the whole affiliation kicks in. So some people like Captain America has special abilities for Avengers. So half of your roster need to be some of these fine fellas. So Captain America, Iron Man,
Black Widow,
Hulk, Thor, Panther Vision, which means we know these ones are coming because they're on the list.
Yes.
So that's nice. Likewise, we know some of the Cabal. So once you've got your affiliation, you can then just go nuts with the rest of them. So if your roster is 10 people, only five of them need to be Avengers to trigger the Avengers affiliation, then, you know, fill up the other five with as many good guys from Hydra as you can.
And the extra abilities and stuff, they're on the cards. And is it the cards basically to say, well, look,
so if you find Captain America, find wherever America's ass currently lives in that pile.
It's down near the bottom.
Of course it is.
Well, it is an ass. So
it is an ass.
America's ass.
Here's one for you. Why are the cards double-sided? Are they different languages?
It's being punched in the face. Where's Captain America gone? If I could find Captain America. There's the Red Skull. I'm taking the Red Skull on the grounds that he's in my hand.
There's Cap.
Oh, it's too late now, Cap. You had your chance. You've blown it. Okay. Sod your Cap. So, Master of Evil. Mm-hmm. Affiliation Cabal. Each time an allied character damages an enemy character with an attack, the attack is resolved and the attacking character gains one power. So if you don't have enough people in your roster to have the affiliation Cabal, you might only have three of the Cabal named villains. That bonus power doesn't get used. Likewise, I think Captain America gets something like everybody costs one less to play with. And the reason they're double-sided is this is Johann Schmidt before he's been roundly beaten around the head. And once you hit you've taken equal to your wounds in a turn, you become dazed and then next turn flipped and he becomes weaker and beaten and a bit outraged. Actually, he's the best looking out of all of the beaten up ones because most of the rest of them look like they've gone, 12 rounds with Tyson.
I really like,
I don't know, I like the Iron Man one.
Crossbones one is kind of cool because he's like smoking as if he's just been like blown up or something. It was
Helicarrier crashed into his head.
So there's Iron Man, Iron Man beginner, and then
WAP.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beat what I mean. Yeah, everybody looks like they're beat down, whereas Red Skull
just looks, Red Skull
just
annoyed.
Looks really miffed.
Yeah.
To be fair, Red Skull is carrying a cosmic cube, and it's probably best that you do not annoy a man with a cosmic cube.
I love that, the fact that your characters evolve.
One of the interesting things they've done is that they've twisted that a little bit with some of the characters. So Hulk, for example, he doesn't have a flip side. He's just 20 stamina, and once that's gone, he's gone. But because one of the mechanics in the game is that when you get hit, you get power to then spend on abilities to kind of give that cinematic feel. Obviously, if you're hitting a guy who's got 20 stamina compared to some of the characters that have like 5 or 6, he can build up so much power with which to use against you. So you hit him, he gets more angry.
Release angry man. Yeah.
Nice.
It's a way of dropping people.
Now these miniatures, are they all hard plastic?
They are all hard plastic.
That's nice.
Is there like scenery pieces and things
as well? There's scenery, there's a ton of scenery in it because scenery is integral to the game. On the grounds that everything has a rating from 1 to 5, where 1 are lampposts. Lamp post. Mm-hmm. And five would be buildings. So we've got like a Daily Bugle shack, or there are even cars or dumpsters. I'm like American me. Mm-hmm. There's a dumpster. And whenever you batter people with them, they will take damage based on what you're battering them with. So you can't pick up cars and slam them in the Hulk's face.
I'll do that.
Nice. Over and over again. Some things will get removed. So if you smash a car into Captain America's ass, if the car is smaller than Captain America's ass, so he is size two. If the car is size two or size one, the car goes away, it gets destroyed. Like, so lampposts and things, people will only hit them once.
You need a smart car in here.
Yeah, you hit them with a smart car, that'd be ideal. Robin Reliant around the back of the head.
Yeah.
Bigger things obviously require more to destroy. Or if you throw...
So Cadillac.
If you throw Hulk through the Daily Bugle newsstand, mm-hmm. he's probably big enough to smash that, and it will go away completely, so you lift it off the table.
Yeah.
So the fact that you get a couple of dumpsters, two cars, loads of little peripherals and bits and add-on, because the environment is
really
massively destructible.
This is cinematic in rules,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, and I think they needed to do that to make it actually... An interesting. Like, yeah.
Is all this pictured on the back of the box? Is there a big picture of the set?
I'm going to say yes. I'll flip it over and you can find out. Okay. Because they should be there beating each other with sticks.
Yes.
I'm quite liking the idea of this. I want to give it a go.
Yeah.
Are
you up? There upside, we go. Downside? No, you're,
yeah,
you're
perfect. Right, yeah, we're very far away, but you know, you can see a variety of heroes. And then
so traffic lights, lampposts, cars,
newsstands,
Captain America's ass, just there, just by
one, one of the other really cool things about this, they've made it so that measuring and like movement and stuff is very fluid and very dynamic, done with like little widgets that you'll be very familiar with if you've played Legion, for example.
Yeah.
But movement's very sort of fluid and open, and the ranges for actually like hitting people and using powers is actually quite dynamic and different too. So you don't have to be in base-to-base contact all the time and that kind of thing. So any like playthroughs and stuff that I've seen of it, you've had people climbing up on the side of walls, leaping over dumpsters and all that kind of thing. They've made it so it feels like Spider-Man doesn't get hung up trying to climb a building or something like that. He can leap over it and all kinds of things like that.
Essentially, so. I think the way they've done it is anybody who's climbing, jumping, flying, skipping counts as height five.
Yeah, they get to do a normal move.
Yeah, effect. And as long as you are bigger than the building or thing you're trying to cross, then you do it automatically. You just reduce your range.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it means nobody ever reaches that point where you go, oh, there's a big building here. I'm just going to stand up against it. Because currently every building is, well, with the exception of fives, pretty much everything else you encounter will be smaller than you when you're attempting your climb or attempting your jump. Yeah. Nobody's ever seen the Scarlet Widow fail to climb up a wall and murder somebody.
Yeah, or like Hawkeye being stuck just at the bottom of a wall.
Yeah, it's one of the things that, like, one of the examples I've seen, big high-rise flat foot, you can use the climb action as one of your abilities. And you just do a small movement, but that allows you to go all the way to the top. Or as high as you want. So it doesn't really matter. So,
is it measured movement or template movement?
It's like Star Wars Legion.
Okay.
Yeah. So but it basically means you could just go all the way to the top of the building. Top, while she parkoured her way up or something.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
There we have it.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Jerry. We will definitely have to get that on a Let's Play.
I'm
well up for that.
I'm desperate to get a table put together to see dumpsters flying around and...
It's very, it's a very small, contained game as well. It's one of these 3x3. So you don't need a massive table and a massive amount of scenery to make it work, which is good because when you need so much to make it effective and make it a lived-in area, then you don't want to be going, I need to fill a 6x4 with the density of terrain.
Yeah, but couldn't we just build like New York?
Yes, and we will. It'll be the metropolis.
No, well... No, so. Metropolis DC, is that not?
Oh God, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well done.
Oh,
my brain just went. Hang on, something not right here.
Just foot and mouth.
I just crossed my stream.
Every Marvel fan out there now hates Warren, and every DC fan goes, "Yay!"
That's all right, man. I get shit every episode now, so it's Ben. What's going on in the world of 40K? As if I don't know. Imperial fists. Imperial fists. Imperial fists.
Yeah, so the Imperial Fists and the Salamanders getting their codexes. This weekend is the open period for the pre-orders, but obviously next weekend everything will get released. So you're going to get some different variations of the codex you can pick up. So you've also got the basic one that has the traditional sort of Tinder picture of these Space Marines on the front of it. Yep. You can also get digital versions, and there's also like a limited edition version as well. Leading the way for each of the different factions as well, you've also got two named characters. Now these are the, and I've been corrected on this many times, these are the third company captains for their respective chapters. So you have Tor Garadon for the Imperial Fists, or Chip Hazard, as everyone knows.
Yes.
And you also have Adrax Agatone, who works for Dulux. He's the Salamander's leader, leading the way there, as you can see in his really awesome looking armor. One of the things I will say, I think of the two characters there, I think that Adrax is possibly my favorite, mainly because of the sort of like slightly more ornate armor. And I love the mythos behind the Salamanders and all that kind of thing on their volcanic planet. Very, very cool indeed. Beyond the characters, you've also got some additional bits and pieces for the rest of your army. So like we saw with the previous chapters that have been released as part of codexes, we've got two upgrade kits. So this comes with all the shoulder pads, weapons and head swaps and things you can use to build your squads. If you're frugal with these, I'd imagine you could do quite a few Marines. Obviously, if you want to try and make them all very, very themed, you're probably going to have to buy quite a few of these different packs. But you've got the transfer sheets in there as well to help alongside with that too, which is pretty cool. So obviously, you've got, as I say there, you've got one for the Imperial Fists and the Salamanders. And then beyond just those two chapters and stuff focused around them, there's also a couple of new releases for the Space Marines. So you've got the Impulsor Tank, which is the effectively the Rhino, I suppose you'd say.
It's the El Camino Rhino.
Yeah, so it's the fancy one. Very, very cool, which is a floating one. And then you've also got the Infiltrator.
It hovers.
I'll warn, it's got an open troop transport bay in the back. You know, it is literally the El Camino Tank.
why wouldn't it hover, though? Andy grabs a piece of piss for these people.
I know, but it... It just makes me so sad.
I can see Belisarius has just went into his workshop and went, there's a rhino sitting over there. What can I do with that?
I'll
cut the back off.
Well, let's make that a convertible right there.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. All right, I'm looking forward to seeing it, primarily just to see how much bigger than a rhino it is, you know? But it hovers. Come on, please.
I like the fact they put a... handle on the front so you can push it around like a shopping trolley.
that's for when the anti-grav breaks and you're having to drag it out.
Oh, come on. It's like...
Why wouldn't you have a floating tank? If you can make tanks and you can make floating stuff, the floating tank is the obvious thing.
See, the old
narrative
was...
The whole point of a tank is that it can go over all sorts of terrain. If you have to float over it...
The old narrative was the technology just did not exist anymore. It had been lost. Yeah. You know, there was one anti-grav motorbike in the entirety of the Imperium, and the Dark Angels had it.
Mm. And Lloyd...
But is it the concept or the look of it?
It's the concept. You know, look, sometimes things are defined are better defined by what they can't do than what they can do. And for me, one of the beauties of the 40K universe was the fact that a big element of it was really grounded, grounded in a physical sense, like the Imperial Guard and the Space Marines. They were grounded, you know, they were using tracks. So there was a familiarity to it. Yeah, it's 40,000 years in the future, but there was a familiarity to it. And things like the Land Raider and the Rhino,
there was a veneration to them.
They made sense in a lot of ways. And then you have this, okay? And, you know, as a piece of science fiction, it's grand, you know, it's nice, but it's...
I don't mind the concept. I don't like the look of the tracks.
I see.
Like, why does it still have stuff that looks a wee bit like tracks?
They're anti-grav.
Those are grav plates, yeah.
Yeah, but why do they look like tracks that have been stuck on sideways?
Probably to keep the thing that it still has
to keep
some
the industrial
feel-looking element to it.
So. For me, Warren, it was always the fact that the vehicles you saw in 40K were ancient relics that they were, you know, venerating, keeping running and stuff.
Yeah, but
this
even
just
before,
feels like it's stamped out.
But even before you knew any of that. Because you don't instinctively know any of that backstory.
Yeah, but that was one thing I loved about them. It's something that I really lack with this.
But for somebody looking at it, you know, you had all right, I can see these are big, kind of beefy army guys.
Let's keep the picture.
With their tanks and everything, and they're versus these sleek looking, weird elf looking skinny guys that have flying gravy kind of things.
Yeah, not this.
So the Eldar, for example, in the Tau, had your higher sci-fi kind of a feel to it.
Yeah.
Whereas these guys, you know, it was that groundedness to it that has always been the attractor to me. And that is why I don't own anything gravity.
Yeah, you don't have repulsors.
No.
You see, I can see that they've at least tried to keep it looking like low-tech bullishness, because you've got the big circular base below there, and it looks like it's just plowing its way, just hovering in the moor.
I may be just a complete grognard on this. I just think it was unnecessary. I think some things didn't need fixed. And, you know, having grav tanky space marines was something that didn't need to happen. I liked the mechanical nature of it all.
But
like the drop pod.
Yeah.
Like, what is the point of a drop pod if you've got grav? You would have a drop pod that could lift itself up and move around the battlefield.
You see, for this, I can understand kind of why they've done it, because the only transport for the Primaris Marines was the repulsor. So this is probably going to be a cheaper version for them to have transports.
The Primaris could have had a bigger Land Raider.
Or a bigger Rhino, yep.
That was the point. To be fair, the Primaris could have come out just as the replacement for the Space Marines as they were intended. And they just said, it's Mark 9 Space Marine Army. They've got bigger, you know, and we're going to do a bigger Land Raider and we're going to do a bigger Rhino and all your other stuff. Yeah, it's still there. You can use it as a Rhino. You can use it as a Land Raider, but it's not going to look as good as the new Rhino or the new Land Raider. The same way as that the new Terminators look better than the old Terminators.
So, do you think they've went to design this and went, let's redesign the wheel?
Yes.
Okay.
And they've broke my heart.
Okay.
You know, and they broke the wheel off and stuck graph plates.
Yeah, I will honestly say, you know, I know that sometimes we all like to gurn and complain about what designers have done, okay? As a piece of design, I'm not a fan. It's all right.
Mm-hmm. Technically flawless as always from Workshop.
But they have completely broke my heart, because I just think it shouldn't have happened.
I still think it's better than those stumpy trucks that came out for...
If anybody out there...
For
who? The Torox.
Oh, the Tyrox, yeah, that was a piece of garbage.
Are you looking a slap? Toroxes are amazing, man.
The only time the Tyrox is stumpy. Amazing is whenever you pick up the wheel upgrade kit.
No, Toroxes are lovely with the tracks as they are.
No,
And the internet agrees with me on that. We have tested this. We've already done a vote on this. We're not going to have a secondary confirmatory vote on this one.
See, I'm with Justin, because I've seen them being upgraded at the Hobby Bootcamp, and I thought, ooh, looks much nicer now.
Yeah,
it looks different.
It looks like a working vehicle instead of something that just has, there's a couple of little dumpy track sets, that'll work.
3 million Germans at road running half tracks would turn around and say to you, you're talking balls, Justin.
No, it's not the fact that it is a half track, it's the design of the half tracks, that they're small, fat, dumpy, ugly little pieces of crap.
Yeah, they're dumpy looking.
You're breaking my heart, Stumpy. Games Workshop. Bring back, if anybody can do me...
Make the Rhino great again.
A track... upgrade set. I was going to say a track conversion set.
Don't do that.
But it literally would be an upgrade set.
Just stick six wheels on one side and six wheels on the other.
Actually, seeing this with some wheel upgrades could look kind of cool.
I want a track upgrade set for this and for the repulsor, please. All you resin gurus out there, Micro Arts and everybody else, please, for God's sake, somebody make something that will convert these to make them with tracks again.
And some wings as well.
No.
Now, what if they put a half track, but they had skis on the front?
Oh, shut up, Justin.
Oh, he's onto something. You're just frozen wasteland trucks.
Trying to wind me up now. So,
all right, there is one more thing here.
Oh, God.
There's another unit.
This is okay. I saw this, and I really like these guys.
Optimus Prime!
Brilliant.
No, these are the aerial marines, okay? So these are the guys that bring television to the far reaches of the Imperium. What the hell actually are they, Ben? Because they are cool. I like them.
I do like them.
It's the set of infiltrators that also makes another type, which name I've forgotten. I'm sure Justin will probably remember, but they're your effectively the new scouts and stuff that you can throw into the mix.
See, I like this new unit because it's got one cool thing to it. They've got what's called a Helix Adept in there, which is like a mini apothecary in your unit.
Right. Slow down. A Helix what?
Adept.
A Helix Adept. So one's he?
See the guy at the front there with the little thing on his arm? I believe that's him.
The one typing on his arm like Predator.
Okay.
So basically acts as like a miniature apothecary. I think that's who he is.
Uh-huh.
I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, I apologize.
I think they're kind of funky, actually.
I quite like them.
I like them a lot.
They're spec op marines.
They do have that spec op-y thing about them, don't they? Yeah, so that's your lot on the 40K.
Yep.
Now we're on to Age of Sigmar. Are we still talking about flipping Ossiarch Bone Reapers, Ben?
Yes. So there's
yes.
So there are two new sort of.
Oh my god!
Okay, I am now off this faction. No, do not want. I'm done. I am out.
What is this?
We need to have the Call of Games old people home.
So this is a miniature that I think possibly makes this faction even more fun than it ever was before.
Right. And this is funny.
This is the Mortizan Soul Mason, and they are the characters within the Ossiarch Bone Reapers who are effectively the mirror of some of the Stormcast Eternal guys and the Invokers and stuff, who trap souls and then use them to infuse the bodies of the newly molded undead warriors for the Ossiarch Bone Reapers and turn them into the fighters that you see. Yes, it looks weird, but I think you have to embrace it. I genuinely think
I've got over my shock, Ben. And the more I look at it, the more I agree with you. I'm thinking, oh, I could actually have one of these.
Hang on. Look at what he's sitting on. That stone pillar, it looks like there's a drawer there to pull out the bottom end of the commode.
But genuinely, I think this is one of the, like, if you, as I say, it's weird and it's zany and
Marmite.
It's off the wall. But it's such a cool, like, Mortal Realms-y thing. Like, if you're going to say, oh, what are the undead like in Age of Sigmar?
Jerry doesn't like cry.
Please, somebody let the Wookiee speak. Jerry, bring some sanity to this.
I wonder if Channel 4 have seen this yet, and will they sue?
Right.
Rick Meal used to do a show called Grimm Fairy Tales, where he would essentially narrate the old Brothers Grimm tales, and he narrated them from his seat in a big sofa or a big chair that was balanced on two huge emu-like legs that would get up and scratch itself walk around. And he sat cross-legged.
Oh.
So that is just...
Is this something that can be Googled?
Oh, God, yeah.
Here, have we any more pictures of this? Because, Ben, I'm not with you on this. I've really struggled with the Ossiarch Bone Reapers, and this guy has just sealed it for me.
So we've got some close-ups.
Right, is there an ass shot? There is an ass shot.
There is an ass shot.
Oh, there might be.
That's one serious case of dingleberries.
My levels of nope just went up another notch.
What is that? What are those?
Well, we know what they are.
That'll be some teeth. He has to feed this chair.
Oh, dear. Right. No.
It can flick the bird at you on its way past.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Undo, GW, undo. So, yeah. No.
No, thank you. Just no.
Okay. Oh. Yep. There's another product in OTT history. We're doing our very best not to sell.
Seriously, though, definitely go and Google Rick Mail's Grim Fairy Tales, because that was a couple of amazing series.
Okay, save us, Ben. Give us some AOS news that's gonna make us happy in a different way.
Happy. Well, it probably won't make you happy because Stormcast Eternals and everyone seems to be hating on them. But
no, I like these dudes.
But if you're looking for a new character thrown into the mix, and they also teased somewhat out of the blue a new Night Questor model. So people might remember the Night Questor from the Silver Tower box.
Yeah.
They're the guys that have been sort of gifted by Sigmar like mighty armor and weapons, and they head off into the Mortal Realms to go and pursue a particular quest, and then they are endlessly questing constantly. A little bit like the sort of like Knights Errant kind of thing, Knights of the Grail kind of stuff from our sort of medieval history and fantasy and that kind of thing as well. But this is a new character model that's actually been named. So it's called Dacian Anvil. And as you can see, looks kind of cool. I think it's kind of awesome. I mean, it's a Stormcast Eternal, but I like some of the stuff they've added to it. So they've kind of gone with the whole Night Questor feel. They've got the book and the scroll cases and the maps and stuff. So he's clearly out there adventuring and that kind of thing. But one of the big things about this that I'm interested about is that they never actually said how he's going to be coming out yet. So there's no guide as to whether that's part of a board game or part of a new Getting Started set or something like that. But Cubicle 7 are working on the role-playing game. And in the role-playing game, you can play as Night Questors. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering whether or not this is going to be the start of maybe a couple of different single releases that can be used, obviously, in Age of Sigmar and all that kind of thing as well. But maybe to sort of go along with the role-playing game, because that could be kind of awesome. The other also, well, one of the other options they could be going with for this is that obviously Warcry is a thing. And while they have Stormcast Eternal factions that you can play as and that kind of thing, they're all sort of built from the generic range that already exists for the mass battle skirmish game. So maybe they're going to be doing some more sort of models for that that'll work as characters and things that you can throw in via things like Heroes and Monsters and all that kind of stuff for the expansion stuff. So don't know how he's going to come to the tabletop. It'll be very interesting to see how that happens. But a kind of cool character to lead the way. Again, for Stormcast Eternal Forces.
It's funny you mentioned Warcry, because if you look at his base, that looks like a Chaos Warrior's helmet.
It is a Chaos Warrior helmet that has been sundered. Could well be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Nice. I like it. I like it. You know, I think the Stormcast Eternals, I think they're a cool-looking faction, man. I have no issues there at all. Right. Next up. Eberron, D&D 5th edition by Gale Force 9.
One of the books that's coming out in November is Eberron, which is a new book for 5th edition, so taking that old world that everyone absolutely loves with the Warforged and stuff in it and bringing it back to the tabletop for the new edition of the game. And alongside that, they're also going to be bringing out a whole bunch of miniatures. So leading the way, we have one of the special characters a lot of people who play Eberron know, which is the Lord of Blades. And he is a Warforged that was from the annals of history, and he has a deep hatred of man, elf, dwarf kind, however you want to say it. And he is out to try and kill everything that is mortal in order to create a utopia effectively for the Warforged. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, we've also got another character pack that's coming out that will include some character, well, some hero miniatures for you to use if you're going to be playing as one of the Warforged. So you've got Warforged miniatures for the cleric, the fighter, and the monk there. Although, of course, Warforged can play as any class that you might want to. I am a big fan of Warforged. I think they're very, very cool. I love the idea of role-playing characters that have kind of like an interesting sort of backstory to them, and Warforged are a fascinating one because they were effectively weapons and an army created by these people in the Eberron world back in the day, and now sort of they're trying to find their own personality and their own way of living and stuff. And so I think it's really cool to play characters like that. So it's nice to see them doing some interesting models for that too. I'd imagine we're going to see some other stuff from WizKids and that kind of thing in the future in their sort of plastic range as well, which would be kind of cool. But to finish off all the stuff from Gale Force 9 for Eberron, they're also bringing out a set of maps, which are always a cool tool for Dungeon Masters to play around with. And there's also a new Dungeon Master screen as well. So it'll come with all the stuff you need in order to play Eberron on the back. So you've got all the stuff about the different houses, the marks, and all the stuff that evolves around sort of that kind of slightly more magic science stuff that you get in Eberron. So it'd be really cool to see how those will come together. But yeah, a whole new range of awesome resin stuff coming out from Gale Force 9 there.
I'm interested in seeing where it goes. I'm not familiar with Eberron myself. I've never played it. I've never sampled in the world or the universe of it. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. Right, yeah. Kickstarters. Mm-hmm. To finish out the show, two awesome Kickstarters this week. Firstly, one that has been just tugging on my heart since it launched. 17 Days to Go. It's the Fighting Fantasy Legends by Atlantis Miniatures.
So we talked about a little bit about this Kickstarter last week. We saw some of the renders and things they've been working on, but now this is finally out there in the world for you to back on Kickstarter. So this is a range that Atlantis Miniatures have been working on alongside the guys from Fighting Fantasy in order to bring together things like monsters, some of the characters, some of the foes you face, slightly more esoteric ones as well, some that you may not know. I didn't know about the cookies, the little biscuit men running around with all their sort of arms and legs and stuff. I thought that was very, very weird. But they're bringing out all this stuff in resin in 28mm for you to use, be it in your skirmishing games, in your mass battle games, or just to have by the side of you as you're playing through a game of Fighting Fantasy, for example. As I say, they've been doing a lot of stuff. So they've got heroes, villains, monsters, lots of other oddities and things like that. They're also working towards a couple of interesting stretch goals. So they'll see some of the larger figures are included as part of that too, and add-ons and things like that too. And there's also a special collector's box you can pick up, which will come with all the stuff in there in a very nice plush finish. And there's also some art cards and things as well. But one of the things that I really liked about this in particular was that they've actually gone and looked at the stuff and the artwork from Fighting Fantasy and Steve Jackson and that lot back in the day, and they've created miniatures that are very faithful representations of those characters. So you'll see that a lot of the proportions and things are sort of a little wibbly wobbly and a little off, but that's because that's how the artwork was back in the day in those black and white pictures. And so it's really nice to see that translated over into the miniatures that you see here as part of this Kickstarter. So yeah, very cool stuff.
Love the genie.
That's my favorite right there, though.
Which
Quag Shuggoth.
Quag Shuggoth. I just love it. I have such a soft spot for Fighting Fantasy.
Yeah, Atlantis miniatures are gorgeous as well.
Just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Guys, 17 days left to get in on that one. Hope to see a few more stretch goals unlocked, because I would love... the Fighting Fantasy range has always been crying out.
I'm glad we looked at this a bit further, because like the Dark Lords and stuff that they're showing now are really cool. Go back up to the Dark Lords.
Okay, let's see if we can quickly get to them.
We've looked at this, but now we're looking at them, we can see a lot more of the range and
is
stuff.
That Lords of Chaos you were after?
No, Dark Lords are
different. There's Dark Lords further up. It's like one of them's painted, and then there's two that's not beside it.
Dead Lords...
which is really cool. And I did like the genie. And I got exactly what Ben was talking about, because there was the genie and then there was the devourer came up right beside each other. And they had that strange illustration look. Look at the Dark Lords. I need some of those in my life.
Yeah, but even the wizards and the warlocks.
Mm. Yeah.
One of my favorites is the barbarian. And the reason is, he's exactly what I expect a barbarian to look like in a fantasy universe, and that is primarily because of the front of the Hero Quest box. I will say, if my barbarian has more than a hairy loincloth, he's wearing too much.
Overdressed for the occasion.
So, it's just how I like my barbarians, as I'm sure many others like their barbarians exactly the same way. Mm. So, it's fantastic. One of my other favorites in this is the Blood Beast. But it's just because I
down to the blood
loved
beast.
The there Blood Beast. It is. Yeah, I the Blood Beast was always an interesting piece of art for me as a kid, you know, with all them eyes.
Very iconic front cover as well.
It is, yeah.
Still no Sky Lord yet, which, you know, I'm not really holding out any hope that I'll see the Sky Lord.
Yeah.
Flying about in his hover car.
They do have some more stretch goals sitting there.
They do, but they seem to be focusing on the fantasy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of the classic stuff that came out to begin with.
I think the wheelies are awesome, though.
Mm.
Yeah. They're the ones that I'm like, I have no idea who they are. But
the ones that look like biscuits.
Little biscuit men.
Yeah.
They're all good.
Okay.
Like them.
Next up for our moderns gamers, we have Bonza Games have just come out, 25 days to go, with Delta 1-0. It's a two-player Modern Warfare skirmish game.
Bonza.
Who can tell us something about this?
I was so glad to see Bonza come up as the company name, just so I could say it repeatedly. Bonza. At no point did I throw a shrimp on the Barbie. But, so Delta 1-0 is coming out of Australia, Kelsa Priest. And the idea behind this is it's not a factual simulation for modern combat. It is very much in the reproducing your
Call of Duty
games, your espionage and clandestine missions on the tabletop. So they've got a fairly tight set of rules, and it's only about 40 pages long, and you can already download those from their face page. Mm-hmm. And I think actually in here as well, there's a clicky thing, so people can go and have a look at them. But the idea is it's a 5 to 12 man sort of squad. Mm-hmm. We've got so far UK Peacekeeping Force and then the new Eastern Bloc Alliance. Mm-hmm. So it's very much sort of, you know, weird things have happened in the Balkans. Yeah. You know, we need to send in
SAS fighting Spetsnaz.
Strip Bennigan or whoever, you know, Chip it's Wonder, a, Chip
it's
Wonder
proper
pants.
Near future kind of stuff then.
But the mechanic wise is quite cute, because you're not just managing your teams, everything's broke down into fire teams, but you choose what your fire team's going to do in advance. And then you set like a little dial, almost like the sort of the X-Wing type dials. So mm-hmm. you have a dial behind that says, you know, they're going to go for a fire, they're going to go for a suppression, they're going to go for a move, whatever it happens to be. And then you reveal them in like initiative order. But if you've pushed somebody too far, because there's no pre-measuring in the game, you can find yourself running into difficulty. And apart from just having wounds, there's also stress levels. And as people get more stressed, as things go horribly wrong, because you're a terrible commander and they've just heard two of their mates die around that corner, then they get more stressed and less likely to do things. And, you know, and at that point you hit like a tipping point where they were in a bad place before, but now they've gone worse and they're less likely to react and everything's falling apart. So you've got to play off the achieving the scenario objectives. In some games you can get away with, I'm just going to push men forward and watch them be murdered and do the mission. Mm-hmm. However, in this case, pushing men forward to be murdered may mean you're less likely to achieve the mission, simply because everybody else gets more stressed and panicky because of it. So they've got two little forces already sort of prepped, but they are planning on just with, well, the likes of stretch goals to sort of expand those. And then next year, do additional factions. So they're not looking to overload right off the bat. They want to get the game funded. They want to get the two core factions done. And then next year, go back and do, I think, US and somebody
else. US and the Rebels.
Yes, the Rebels. There we go. Yeah. So they have plans to build on this and plans to run with it. And I think for getting that sort of, you know, type of game, type of mission on the table, I think that's a great way to go for it, where they're not going, we're going to blow our wad immediately. We're going to focus in, get a game that works, get miniatures that people want to pick up and play with, get it out and let people see how it goes
and build on it.
And I'm really interested because I'm not a big modern gamer as a player. I've never looked at modern conflicts and went, you know what would be fun? Ukraine. That'll be hilarious. I've never done that. And I know some people are ultra moderns. They're very keen on it. But I have played Call of Duty. I have played Battlefield Modern. Yeah. I've played these games. I've played Solid Snake, whatever it was called back in the day.
Metal Gear Solid.
The one that we liked was Full Spectrum Warrior.
Full Spectrum Warrior. That
was
exactly.
I thought your best one was Rainbow Six.
I was amazing at Rainbow Six.
But being able to pull those onto the tabletop and play those fictionalized accounts.
Yes.
You know, have your storming a boat that's got hostages on board or whatever, where it's got the feel of a modern combat situation without having any of the
potential baggage.
Yeah, the baggage that would come with actually playing a full-on modern. Like I said, the system I think is really, really nice. So
I like that stress idea because it starts to explore other things that need to be managed within a team like that, you know, because we're always managing like equipment, movement, wounds. I do like the idea that suddenly stress and the reactions to stress it becomes a part of it.
And the stress isn't just going to come from people being wounded or killed, although it does, but it can also come from environmental factors around you. So if you're doing something at night and something's happening and you can't see it, you know, that can push stress levels up. It's not an automatic thing, but the idea that people are, or their teams are separated out, and so they're reliant on following a plan, and when things start to go wrong, do your soldiers continue to follow that plan, or does it all fall down?
I'd love to take minis to this, like onto like an oil field, for example, that's been set on fire.
You want to go for Jarhead
and have plumes that are all lit up and then they turn to smoke. Could you, like in a desert, and then there's just plumes of smoke and you're working your way through it all, and that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
What's the scale of these like? Because I like, see if we scroll down.
Yeah, 32
so sort of standard for most miniatures these days.
There's an Infinity miniature with a rocket launcher on the very end there, and there's a 40K Guardsman. So
I take it we're looking at the painted one in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they are true scale.
Yeah, they don't have giant heads and hams for fists.
Yeah.
I believe they're also being done by Scale 75, so they're pretty good.
All right.
Oh, there's a good pedigree behind these then.
Yeah.
Very exciting for a first-time company, I feel.
Well, thank you very much, guys. Ben, Jerry, Justin, Lloyd, always a pleasure. Thank you, guys. Remember to comment on this episode, to thumb it, to like it, to subscribe, to ding the dong, to do all the things, as we're giving away a Kings of War 3rd Edition 2-player starter set. In fact, we're giving away two.
Two of.
So you have double the chances of winning. So remember, comment here on YouTube, but also come across to ontabletop.com and comment on this post on ontabletop.com. By signing up to ontabletop.com, you can also get yourself, if you join the little We have this great little email chain that you can get, which is like a 7-day guide mm-hmm. to the platform and how you can how you get the most out of the platforms, how the project systems work, how the games catalog works. It's all in there. But in there is also a 30-day free trial of the Cult of Games.
Was it 30 day now?
It's a 30-day free trial.
I thought we ran 7 days. Have you upped it?
Oh, it's been up for a while.
Okay.
30-day free trial to the Cult of Games. And you can come in and join us in all of our culty goodness, man. You will love it. You will love it. Mm. Right. Thank you very much, guys. That has been your weekend, and we have been your weekender. We will see you next week. And for all you cultists, we'll catch you tomorrow morning on XLBS over at ontabletop.com. Take it easy, dudes.
Go ahead and check out our other content on screen now. And while you're at it, why not hit subscribe? And remember to ding our dong. Go on, you know you want to click it. Go on.